Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my precious brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is Radio Shepherd welcoming you to Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. Today's Monday's word of encouragement, which is really a word of exhortation, comes to us from 1 Peter Chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 13, 1 Peter 1, 13, the inspired apostle writes, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Holy. Let's pray. Our beloved Savior, we come to you in gratitude, in prayer, in thanksgiving, in praise, to thank you for this august salvation, this august gift that you have given us. that we might be called the sons of God, who were born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but who are born from above. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Bless us. Speak to us. Charge us by your word. Touch our souls. Touch our innermost being. Allow your sword, the sword of the Spirit, to go right through bone and marrow, to go right to the heart, and perform that which you would desire your word to perform in this hour, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Today's word of encouragement, today's word of exhortation is, be holy, for he who called you is holy. One of the troubling things in the church today, and there are so many troubling things in the church today, but if I could just point out three things that are most troubling in the church today, we can write many, many things that are most troubling. But let's just talk about three things that are most troubling. One, we have many false ministers in the pulpit. We just have too many wolves in sheep's clothing who have commandeered and hijacked God's church. Everywhere you look, there is either a wolf in sheep's clothing who is pastoring the church, or a pastor who has been bitten by a wolf and is a werewolf in the pulpit. In other words, the pastor is not a wolf all the time. But every time a full moon comes in, it seems like these pastors who have been hanging out with wolves and have been bitten by wolves turn into wolves themselves, only to turn back into pastors when the full moon passes. And yes, I know we don't believe in werewolves. We don't believe in the myth of werewolves. But we just have too many pastors today, just too many, who are backslidden and simply act like wolves. That's one problem. As a result of this one problem, God's church is heading in the wrong direction. That's one of the problems, one of the issues that I would like to highlight. The second is that we no longer preach the gospel of Christ. There is no more preaching about the cross and preaching about the blood and preaching about the nails and preaching about the spear. There's no more preaching, as Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. No. Today is the gospel of prosperity. That's what's being preached today. The gospel of prosperity has hijacked the gospel of Christ. So we have wolves and werewolves in the pulpit, and then we have the gospel of prosperity having supplanted the gospel of our Lord. Then finally, I would argue that the third great thing that challenges our church today is that there's no longer the standard of holiness. Holiness as a standard has gone the way of the dinosaur. It has become extinct. The days of declaring, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord," those days are gone. Those days are far gone. That is no longer the message. That is no longer the primary theme in the church, where God would exhort his people, whether it be Israel or in the Old Testament or whether it be the church in the New Testament, that whole theme about "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord," that has been thrown out of the church. Now, what I love about 1 Peter is that 1 Peter addresses those three issues. Here we have Peter, a true shepherd, a true pastor. Yes, he's an apostle, but he's a pastor at heart. Yes, he's an apostle by office, and for Christ has so designated him an apostle. And he writes in 1 Peter 1:1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you." Here's a pastor, an apostle pastor, an elder, as he calls himself in 1 Peter 5:1. Here is this elder, this apostle, this pastor, this great, great disciple of Christ. And what does he do? Well, please note that what does he preach? He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the prosperity gospel, but the gospel of our Lord. If you notice, look what it says in verse 2. He says, "You who I am writing to are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." It's all about the gospel of Christ. It's all about sanctification through the Spirit. It's all about being elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the triune God, putting forth this gospel of salvation. So note, wolves in the pulpit are pushing the gospel of prosperity, but here this apostle of Christ is pushing the gospel of Christ. And then finally, as you know, holiness as a standard has been done away with, but here Peter says, he says, verse 13 and following, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." The phrase "gird up the loins of your minds," he simply means by that is be disciplined in your thinking. Be disciplined. You know, back in the ancient Orient, you had to gird up your clothes in order to be able to walk, that you would have no hindrance. And so Peter says, if you want to walk this thing out, if you want to walk out this salvation, if you want to walk with the Lord as he requires, gird up the loins of your mind. be disciplined in your thinking. It is a figure of speech based on the idea that one needed to gather and fasten one's long Eastern garments in order to what? In order for them not to interfere or impede with an individual's activity in walking. So he says, don't let anything impede your progress. Gird up the loins of your mind. And then he says, be sober. And I love the phrase, be sober, because, again, it speaks about not being intoxicated. You say, Radio Shepherd, intoxicated with wine? No, no, no. Intoxicated with fairy tales. Intoxicated with false dreams. Intoxicated. Look, look. How do these prosperity gospels preachers intoxicate people? Well, they're always telling them, you're a history maker. When they look out into the crowd, they say, I'm looking at history makers and world changers. See, when you drink that Kool-Aid, you become what? Intoxicated. They're always promising you big things. They're always prophesying great lies for you. You're going to be this, and you're going to be this, and you're going to be that, and the Lord's going to cause you to preach, and you're going to go to the four corners of the earth. And Peter says, be sober. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't let people slip something in your drink. Don't buy the lie. Be sober. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, listen, fix your mind on this one thing. Jesus is soon to appear. When he appears, the curtain will be rolled back. That's what the word revelation means. You see, right now, we can't see Jesus. Right now, we do not see him. Back in the 1950s, when they used to have these variety shows on Sunday night, and the host of the variety show would always be standing behind a curtain, and then the curtain would be drawn, and the curtain would be pulled back, and then you would see the host. And that's how you knew the show was going to begin. Peter is saying, listen, folks, curtain in the sky will be pulled back and we will see Jesus coming. At that time, you will be changed. You will be transformed. Your redemption will be made complete. Your physical transformation will be made complete. And then he says in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. He says, listen, be obedient children. Do not what? Fashion yourselves. Paul put it this way in Romans 12:2, be not conformed. Not fashioning yourselves is the same as be not conformed to this world. Peter says, as obedient children, are you obeying God today? Then if you're obeying God, then you will not be fashioning yourselves according to what? Your former lust. When you were ignorant, when you were without God, when you did not have your eyes open as you do now, your spiritual eyes have been opened. Since your spiritual eyes have been opened, you know that this world is temporary. You know that all that this world promises is fleeting. Look at all of the great movie stars that have graced the silver screen. Look at all of the performers of yesteryear. Think of Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and Bing Crosby. Think of Clark Gable and all of the movie stars of Hollywood. Think of all these people who obtain much fame, much riches, but at death it slipped through their hands. At death it was taken from them. Think of Elvis Presley. Think of Michael Jackson. Even think of Robin Edwards, the great comedian. At death, everything slips through your hands. at death, all that you obtain in this world, you soon discover that at death, it was all what? Temporary. So Peter says, as obedient children, as children of God, as children who have been enlightened, as children who have come to the knowledge of the truth, as children to whom God has opened their eyes that they may understand that everything in this world is simply temporary and fleeting, he says, do not fashion yourselves according to your former lust. What was your former lust? Well, when you were unsaved, when you were unredeemed, when you walked without Christ, when you had no knowledge of God, you just wanted to satisfy the flesh, your sinful cravings. You did that in your ignorance. You did that when you were unsaved. You did that when you were unregenerate. Do not allow, says Peter, do not allow yourselves to be drawn back to that former lifestyle. If God took you out of the mud, if God took you out of the mire, if God took you out of drugs, if God took you out of pornography, if God took you out of prostitution, if God took you out of lying, whatever it was that God took you, whatever filth it was that God took you out of, don't go back to your former lust. You did those things in ignorance. You did those things when you walked without God. But now that you walk with God, this is what the Lord says unto you. Peter says, but as he which hath called you is holy. Who called you? Weren't you dead in trespasses and sins? Weren't you dead just like Lazarus? Weren't you alive, but really you were dead? And then one day you felt God tugging at your heart. You felt God calling you, like when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, Paul says in Ephesians 2, he have what? Quickened. At one time you heard the voice of God and your soul was quickened and you were raised to newness of life. So since he that has called you is holy, Peter says, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or in all manner of living. So let your tongue be holy, let your mind be holy, let your mouth be holy, let your feet be holy. Let's say you're in church and you have hands lifted up praising God, but then your feet is at the club dancing. No, Peter says, let all of you be what? Holy. Let your entire conversation, the word conversation there has nothing to do with talk and everything to do with lifestyle. The real, the proper or updated translation for the word conversation is really lifestyle. Peter says, let your lifestyle be what? In all manner, reflect holiness. Don't say you love the Lord and then you curse. And every word out of your mouth is a curse word. That doesn't reflect. That doesn't reflect that God has opened your eyes. That doesn't reflect that you're born again. You can't use your mouth to be abusive towards your spouse. No abusive talk. Does God speak to you abusively? No. So if God is holy, and God does not use abusive terms, we who are his children should not give in to that lust or that sinful practice of verbally abusing others. You see, in all things that pertain to our lifestyle, we should be holy. Hagios is the Greek word, hagios. We should be set apart from sin. See, hagios has two setting aparts. You can't tell me that you're holy, but then you're at the club. You can't tell me that you're holy, but you have the crack pipe in your hand. You can't tell me that you're holy because you go to church, but then at home you're surfing the net for pornography. You can't, no, absolutely not. God says, if you're holy, holy requires that you be separate from sin. But also holiness requires that you be separated unto God. Now, you're God's. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. You were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. It was the Lamb who shed his blood to take away the sins of the world, yours included, mine's included. So now that he has made us holy in him, then in everything that we do and everything that we say and in everything that we think, it ought to be separate from sin and separated to God. Now, why does Peter say, why does he exhort us? He says, well, first of all, he that called you is holy. He that called you, God called you. You heard his voice. Jesus said, unless the Father draw them, they can't come. If you came, and probably you came kicking and screaming, Jesus said, they can't come unless the Father, in the Greek, dragged them. Many of us come kicking and screaming. But you were drawn. You were drawn. So he says, since he who called you is holy, you need to be holy. He called you. Did he not? He called you. Now, it wasn't Satan who called you. If Satan called you, then, of course, you can be nasty. If Satan called you, you can be filthy. But the call did not originate with Satan. God called you. And since he's holy and he called you, then you need to be holy. It was a holy God that called you. And then the second reason is because Peter says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. God's nature is that of what? He's a holy God. One of his attributes is that he is holy. So he requires that those who walk with him, two can't walk together unless they agree. God requires that his people be holy. And what is holy again? What is holy? Is holy wearing white garments? That's not holy. Is holy going to church seven times a week? That's not holy. Is holy fasting and praying? That's not holy. The very Greek definition of holy, hagios, means one, you have to be separate from sin. So I know a whole lot of people who dress up in white and are not holy. I know a whole lot of people who wear clergy collars and those popish mitres, and they have crosses in their pockets. I mean, they're very holy people simply by their dress, but they're pedophiles. They've been arrested. They've been outed as what? Pedophiles. So garments don't make you holy. Rituals don't make you holy. Holiness means to be separated from sin. Turn your back from sin. The Bible says that Job eschewed evil. Job paid no mind to evil. Job turned his back on evil. Job ignored evil. When evil came and knocking on his door, the door of his heart, the door of his mind, Job did not open the door. That's what holiness means. You have to take a personal stance and say, I'm going to be separated from sin. And then holiness, the second half of holiness, means that now that I'm separated from sin, I'm going to be separated unto God. I devote my life to God and his service. That's holiness. So the Lord says to us today, when the preaching in today's pulpit is, you can live any way you want to and God will still bless you, those are wolves talking. Well, you can go to the club on Saturday as long as you come to church on Sunday. And please, when you come on church on Sunday, don't spend all your money in the club. Leave some for tithes and offerings. See, there are some pastors that they don't care what you do on Saturday as long as you show up on Sunday and bring the money. Because they're what? They're wolves. or they're werewolf pastors. That's why they're into the money. They're hirelings. They're into the bucks. But Peter, who was into none of that foolishness, he said, the demand that God puts on you is, first of all, he that called you is holy. And he called you into a holy walk. And he called you to walk with him. And if he called you to walk with him, two can't walk together unless they agree. And since he by nature is holy, he demands that if you're going to walk with him, you too must be holy. Now, we conclude with this text. The Lord says that without holiness, if you don't live a life separated from sin, and if you don't live a life separated unto God, without holiness, without those two types of separation, no one shall see the Lord. You think you're on your way to heaven? You're not. Well, my pastor told me, well, your pastor's a wolf. Because without holiness, no one shall enter the holy and heavenly Jerusalem. It's a holy city whose residents must be holy, who serve the holy God. And so the Lord says, through the mouth of his prophets and his apostles, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. So make up your mind today. Decide this day, whom shall ye serve? What gospel shall ye follow? What gospel message will you obey? The gospel message of the wolves, which is the gospel of prosperity, that God doesn't care how you live, he'll still prosper you. If that's your gospel, you are deceived and on your way to a lake of fire. But if you are willing to listen to the voice of God, who through the pen of the apostle said this, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. If you're willing to submit to God's standard, then you are truly born again. You have made your election sure, and you're on your way to meeting Jesus. Father, right now I pray for this flock that you've given me over the radio. I pray, Lord God, that they would understand that we live in evil times, dark times, sinister times, demonic times, where Satan has a plethora of preachers and hoodwinking peddlers who are preaching a gospel of no standard, a gospel of no standard. A gospel with no holiness. A gospel with no blood. A gospel with no accountability. A gospel that leads to eternal damnation. I've exhorted your people today. I've challenged them to seek out true shepherds with the true gospel, the gospel of Christ, standard, the standard of holiness. For without it, they have no hope of ever, ever living with you in heaven. I've delivered your word. Now, Lord, let it rest in their hearts like an anchor. Protect their hearts. Don't let the enemy come steal the word that was sown into their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to close off today's word of exhortation with this hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's sung in a cappella. Listen to it, and don't forget to return tomorrow to Tuesday night's prayer service at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. Listen, please, to Holy, Holy, Holy. God bless you.